So tonight we continue on with our discussion of metta. It's the fifth week of this course. And this is the point where things start to get interesting in the sense that up until now, the categories we've been working with, self, benefactor, dear friend, these are people we normally have feelings of love and kindness towards them. But all of a sudden we're stepping outside that, and we have this sort of container of people, you know, our friends and our business associates and people, you know, relatives and that small group of people. And, you know, maybe it's, if you're a really social person, maybe it's even a couple of hundred people, but it's still, relatively speaking, small compared to the fact that there's like 7 billion plus people in the world. So when we start talking about having metta for the neutral person, we're starting to talk about having and working with metta with the person that we're focusing on. That's like, well, who knows? Basically, it's like they're neutral. They're outside our normal range of who we would think. They're people that normally we would just walk by and ignore. Or drive by and ignore. So if we're in the, but you know, we just don't pay these people any attention other than the minimal, you know, good hello, goodbye sort of stuff at doorways and at checkout counters and that sort of stuff. So our attention and our intention both just sort of slide off these people normally. And instead, we're going to consciously choose a particular person who will be our neutral person. And I really recommend you stick with this person for quite a while. It's interesting when you do. And then the question, of course, quickly arises, well, how do I pick a neutral person? How do I pick one person to be the person I focus on of all the people out there in the world that I encounter? Because we all encounter many, many more people than are just our little closed world. And the answer is, number one, it's best if this person is alive. Much, much easier with a neutral person, which is going to be difficult anyway to have focus on someone who isn't around anymore. So it's very important that you pick someone who's actually alive. But this is someone who's literally on the periphery of your day-to-day life, way out there on the edge someplace. But, and this is something you have to really be careful with, is you want to make sure that in the back of your mind, there isn't this sort of, gee, wouldn't it be nice to get to know them better sort of feeling. This is the near enemy desire arising again. Okay. So we want to make sure we pick someone who's just like really neutral. Now, the thing is, we can never think people are never totally neutral because we all form very quick impressions. You know, we see someone and 10 seconds later, we've already got an opinion about them. They look nice. They don't look nice. They look smart. They don't look smart. Blah, 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 blah. All those opinions we form just like that, based on our own likes and dislikes and our own history and who knows what else. So don't go crazy trying to pick the perfect neutral person. It's someone like a clerk you see at the store you shop in. You know, you go grocery shopping and you know there's some clerks there, and after a while you sort of get this particular clerk that you just notice for whatever reason, then that you could think, oh, that person could be my neutral person. Or, you know, someone, you know, you walk to work every day and you walk by someone walking the other way and they're always going the other way and you're going, so it's like ships passing in the night. or it's someone in your office who, you know, is in another department, or, you know, or someone in your apartment building, you only ever meet them in the elevator. You say good morning, they say good morning, and that's the total total extent of your interaction with them. So it really is someone who you don't really know. It's neutral. And then, like I said, you just pick a particular person. Once again, don't feel like, oh, you know, it's not fair if I picked that one person instead of the other, you know, 7 billion people in the world. Yeah, stick with, just pick one. Because remember what we're doing here, and I keep coming back to this, but it's important, is we're trying to change our own habits, of our own mental habits. Most of the time, these people don't even show up on our radar. They're just, like I said, people that just sort of slide right past us. And we're actually going to consciously choose this one person and send them thoughts of loving kindness. Wish them loving thoughts of loving kindness. Try and open our hearts to them, in a sense. And in some ways, this is quite easy. Because it's pretty, I mean, once you think about it, this is someone you don't know. So you have no history with them. Yeah, so you have no obligations. There's no relationship. So there's no expectations. There's no nothing. So it's like, oh, I can just wish them thoughts of love and kindness. What a cool idea, right? So that lack of obligation, that lack of relationship on one level makes this easy. So for some people love this category. I know some people, this is their favorite category, as a matter of fact. And it's just because of that lack of pressure. No expectations, no nothing. It's just this person who I've decided, somewhat at random probably, to be the person I have thoughts of love and kindness towards, to see what happens. I want to read something. This is from Sharon Salzberg's book. And she's talking about how this works. It's helpful to choose someone whom you tend to see occasionally, since that will bring them and your changing feelings for them into clearer focus. If you can think of a neutral person, directing metta toward them may actually be something of a relief, since you will have no intense feelings with this person to interfere with the practice. It's not like, you know, when we're talking with a dear friend and sometimes your dear friend bugs the heck out of you. Well, there's none of that. There's nothing. It's just like this person. Right? I mean, you might know their name. You know, it's a checkout clerk and they have those little name badges and the name is George or Sherry or Sam or Mary or whatever. That's all you know. You know their name. And you know what they look like. He or she is a generic living being wanting to be happy, just like we all do. That's the connection point. This is just another human being who, just like me, wants to be happy, wants to feel safe, wants to be at ease. Right? That's the connection place, that we see them as being just another human being like me. We have no reason to feel separate from this person or to begrudge their happiness. Reflect on the neutral person's wish to be happy, identical to your own, and direct the metta phrases towards them. So that's the, you know, it's harder with the neutral person because we don't know anything about, well, what these phrases mean to them even. We might want to imagine it to some extent. Sometimes metta for the neutral person takes some imagination. But we don't even know that. They're neutral. We don't know anything about them other than, you know, they work in the store or I see them on this bus every day or. whatever it is that you've chosen them for. So that's the easy part of being working with the neutral person. The difficulty with the neutral person is that we don't have a normal way to connect. Normally we have memories, we have future plans with this, with our dear friend, or plans to see our benefactor again soon, or because we don't know anything about them. They're neutral, you know. And this leads to boredom. This is where boredom might arise in as you do this practice. And Joseph Goldstein, in his book Inside Meditation, has a really wonderful set of things to say about boredom. This is the chapter in this book called Thank You, Boredom. It's an interesting way to think about boredom, right? Okay. Like anger and other emotions, boredom most often fools us into diverting our energies entirely to the external situation. Thus, it keeps us from liberating ourselves by seeing our relationship to the emotion itself. We make a great mistake about boredom when we think that it comes because of a particular person or situation or activity. So in this case with metta, it's like this, the person, like we think, oh, well, this person's so boring. Right? So much of the restlessness in our meditation practice and in our daily lives derives from this fundamental misunderstanding. How often do we try to find something new to recapture our interest, something more stimulating or more exciting? And how often does that too quickly become boring and dull, so that we range off again looking for yet another something better? To realize that boredom does not come from the object of our attention, but rather from the quality of our attention, is truly a transforming insight. I want to read that sentence again. To realize that boredom does not come from the object of our attention, but rather from the quality of our attention, is truly a transforming insight. Fritz Perls, one of those who brought Gestalt therapy to America, said, "Boredom is lack of attention." This happened to me on my first long retreat, about halfway through, before I'd read this book. Well, about halfway through, I went to my teachers. This is about 2 weeks into the retreat. And I was following all the instructions and being very diligent and, you know, getting up early and all that sort of stuff. And I went for an interview, and I said to the teacher, I said, "This stuff is so boring." And he just looked at me and smiled. He said, "Ah, not paying enough attention, eh?" And it was like the perfect answer. Yeah, I was getting caught up and feeling sorry for myself and grumpy because it was so boring, instead of paying attention to the practice. I was caught up in this story about how boring it was. And it was just me not paying attention. Understanding that this reality brings profound changes in our lives. Then boredom becomes a tremendously useful feedback for us. It is telling us not that the situation or person or meditation object is somehow lacking, but rather that our attention at that time is half-hearted. Instead of wallowing in boredom or complaining about it, we can see it as a friend saying to us, "Pay more attention, get closer, listen more closely." In the context of metta, pay more attention to the meaning of the phrases. Connect at some level with what you're saying. What do these phrases mean in this situation? Joseph goes on. When we're with people and feeling bored, can we listen a little more carefully, stepping off the train of our own inner commenting? If we are sitting in meditation and feeling uninterested, can we come in closer to the object, not with force, but with gentleness and care. This is the other part. You know, we can't sort of, you know, grind out metta practice. It has to be, we have to sort of be gentle with ourselves and with sort of trying to really tune into how we're feeling, what the heart level is going on at the heart level. What is this experience that we call the breath? We're talking about Vipassana here. If someone were holding your head underwater, would your breath be boring? Good image. Huh? Each breath is actually sustaining our life. Can we be with it fully, just once? When we recognize what boredom is, it becomes a great call to awaken. So what Joseph is basically saying here is, it means we have to pay more attention to the meaning of the phrases, to the image we're trying to hold in our minds. And that's trickier with the neutral person, because how do we know what the meanings of the phrases are for them? Like, we don't know this person, so we don't know we don't know their life story. So then, once again, we have to sort of step back and go, well, what do these phrases mean in the broadest sense for anyone who's a human being who wants to be happy? That's the meaning we want to tune into for this person. What are the universal conditions that people want? How are we all the same as opposed to different? What is it that makes us all just human beings? That's the meaning we want to find for these phrases. One last thing. Don't be surprised if over time your feeling for this person you've chosen, this random person, starts to change. Starts to go, oh, there's my neutral person. You know, and you get this sort of sweet, glowing feeling about them. I've seen this in myself many times when I've practiced intense metta. You know, and then I encounter my neutral person, and it's like, oh. There's this, I do rock work. So I haven't done any for a while, but I used to do a lot of rock work at one time. And I used to go to this particular rock yard north of Boulder to get rocks. Right, so this is like sort of a rough and tumble construction site, you know, bulldozers and lots of noise and dust. And there's this great big heavy set guy who helped me load my truck and stuff like that. And I didn't even know his name. He was just this nice guy who helped me load rocks in my van, right? But he was like the perfect neutral person. And then every time I'd go get rocks after I'd been practicing metta for a while, I'd be like, oh, great. I get to see that guy that helps me load rocks in my truck. It was like a little tinge of excitement was going on in my mind just because I got to see this guy. And that's very, very common. And it doesn't mean you should stop using that person. This is where people start to go, oh, well, this person isn't neutral anymore, so I better get a new neutral person. No, enjoy that sweet energy that you start to feel towards this person and stick with them for a while longer. Absolutely stick with them for a while longer, because you finally found a sweet spot, a spot where this practice is actually changing your heart mind with regard to someone who you didn't know at all. And you sort of enjoy that. Sharon has something to say, but this is in her book again. Over time, it's common to discover an increase of caring and warmth towards the neutral person, as they seem closer and closer to you. They are, after all, a sort of non-erotic secret love. It's a great way to put it. A non-erotic secret love. Once I returned to Barry after a metta course was held there and was meeting with our bookkeeper who had sat that retreat. We were discussing someone we barely knew who worked at the bank, and her face lit up as though she were in love. Startled, I questioned her, and she replied, oh, he was my neutral person during the metta retreat. I've seen this happen many times, in my own experience and in that of others, where the force of concentrating loving energy on someone opens a special place in our hearts for them, even if we never say a word to them. And this is the final thing I want to say. It's really important that you don't at some point go, oh, I should tell that person that they're my neutral person, that I've been, you know, practicing metta for them for months, and it's so wonderful to be able to talk to them again. And no. Just don't go there at all. If you really want to freak somebody out, do that. Because it's like, they're going to go, you're practicing what with who, and who the heck are you? And you know, it's like some weird come on going on here. It's like, it's very disconcerting. Even if the person you've chosen is a fellow practitioner, often when you do this on a long retreat, you choose someone else on the retreat that you don't know, because that makes it easier, because you see them every day. You know, they stand in the food line, you stand in the food line, and you walk into the hall, they have to walk into the hall. Maybe you see them going in out of a bathroom or something, but that's all. You don't know their name, or maybe you remember their name because they introduced themselves the first day before people went into silence, but that's all you know. And it's like, you have to be really careful at the end of the retreat not to go, oh, and by the way, you were my neutral person. It was so great because I feel so much love for you now. And oh my God, just going to really upset people. Just don't even think about it. Just it's totally unnecessary. And the urge is going to be there. The urge to sort of share these sweet feelings you have for this person is going to be strong. And you have to just understand that it's not ever appropriate. Ever appropriate. So just avoid communicating with these people in any way at all. This is not, it's not proper. That's probably the best way to put it. So now what do? Well, I guess we have to practice some more, right? So first of all, spend some time thinking, well, who am I going to use for my neutral person? Have one particular person in mind. So when we get to that point, it's clear who you're going to use. You know, and it's got to be like I said, someone's alive, someone you see. So you see them enough that you sort of know what they look like. You may not know the details, but you know, or maybe if you see them, you know, at McDonald's and they have their little McDonald's uniform on with their name tag, then you can manage them in your uniform. If that helps you connect to them, whatever works, use that. You know, if it's someone in your apartment building and you see them walking out, going into the elevator, and they have their little dog on a lead or something like that all the time, when you see them, think of them and their little dog together. Perfectly good thing to do. Yeah. And then just have that one person chosen. And then what we'll do is in this session and for the next week or so, your practice should go something like this. You know, have a few minutes of self, just enough to get back into the rhythm and also to reconnect with self, which is always important because all this comes from self. Then about 5 minutes we'll spend with the benefactor, and another 5 minutes with dear friend. And then the rest of the time we're going to spend with the neutral person. And if it just gets to be like dry and blah, and it's like you really can't connect, don't hesitate. This is where this instruction starts to arise in this practice. Don't hesitate to go back to the easiest category of the other three. Spend a couple of minutes there and then come back to the neutral person again. And you might have to do that a couple of times. You might have to do that for a long time before you find enough impetus to sort of stick with the neutral person for a 15 to 20 minute period. And that's perfectly okay. It takes time to sort of connect at this with this sort of level of loving kindness, where because of the difficulties of not knowing this person. So don't be surprised if that happens. It's okay. and it's also okay, always okay to go back to the most, the juiciest category for you. Hang out there for a couple of minutes and then come back. Okay, so before we start, any questions that any of you might have before we start? If not, we'll just sit and practice. Okay, so I'll lead us in by repeating the phrases for self 3 times, and then I'll turn off my mic and we'll just sit. I'll pop in to remind you to shift categories. If that's, you find that annoying, you can even turn your sound off and just, it's time to switch. You can set your own times. I'll help you. People find it helpful the first time they practice with a new category to have someone give them a little guidance. And that's all I'm going to do, is a little bit of guidance. Okay. So, as always, when we're sitting, you want to find that comfortable, upright, seated position. You want to settle. You want to feel yourself grounded, but relaxed. Remember, with metta, it's more important that you feel relaxed than anything else, and that you're comfortable. It's perfectly all right to, put an extra blankie around your shoulders or put an extra cushion behind your back or whatever it is that makes you feel really comfy. Being comfy helps you open your heart, literally. Then bring that image of self into the mind, or that sort of tune into that whole body sense of there is a body I talked about last week briefly, whichever those two you're choosing to work with. And then just start saying the phrases, remembering that when you forget, just like in this categories and all other categories, if you forget, if the mind wanders and then you notice it, just come back and start repeating the phrases again. So that's all you need to do. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So, as usual, we now have some time for questions, but also just some sharing of how it was to work with a neutral person. Was it different? Did you like it? Did you not like it? How did it go? It's as I've always say, it's always useful for me to know how things are going out there. At the same time, don't feel obligated at all to say anything. You might just want to sit there quietly, and that's fine. And if you want to speak, you just turn on your mic and speak, and that'll be fine. Oh, the cat wants to speak. Rita's cat. I think cats naturally do metta all the time. It's sort of part of their nature.
It is interesting how that cat likes to sit on my knee, and it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
When I'm quiet sometimes.
Yeah, the cats tune into that energy very quickly.
I found it a very interesting exercise. I picked a checkout person at my at Albertsons that I've known for perhaps a year. That it does give a warm feeling.
Yeah, that's amazing, huh? Just if you consciously choose to do something, it happens. It's I find this whole practice fascinating in that way, especially when we get to these sort of more interesting, difficult categories. And it's like, and now it's like, oh, wait, every time I go out into the world, you know, if I want to take this out into my world in a general sense, you know, I'm going for a walk. And every time I encounter another being, I can just offer them the four phrases. If someone's walking their dog, offer the phrases to the person, offer the phrases to the dog. Why not? You know, and it just becomes, we're trying to train ourselves to be, this becomes our natural way we connect with people at some level. And it may sound sort of superficial almost, but it is like, it's just we're changing our habits of mind. Every time I encounter someone, approach them from this energy space instead. I teach this to staff at the hospital, and they say it's wonderful. Like every time before they walk into a room or they see a patient, they work in imaging and they're about to take x-rays of them or something. They just pause for like three breaths, say the four phrases, and it just changes the quality of their interaction with all these people. It's a powerful tool that we can use in our daily lives. Okay. Speaking of our daily lives, here's a little daily poetry here. This is once again from one of my favorite books, Dana Fald's Go In and In. And this is a poem called Surely This Is Love. Sounds like an appropriate poem for today. I'm intimately connected with all that is. When you water your roots, my heart blossoms. When I see you smile, that's when I know I'm fully alive. As you are able to live in truth, I raise the roof of this house I am exploring. I throw the doors wide, let the breeze blow in the windows. When you grow, I know it is my own opening. You stretch, I breathe. I give, you receive. Just beneath the fabric of our lives, coiled, ready to spring, or budding like a rose, reaching out to embrace, or sitting, bathed in grace and stillness, this singing, circling, radiant, one with everything. Surely, this is love. May the beneficial energies arising from our practice here together today become the causes and conditions for the end of suffering and the awakening of all beings everywhere.